I hope you had a great singing this morning, amen. Amen. I just want to thank the band for all they've done. Please give them a big hand.
Is this working?
Yeah, here we go.
It's great when you see all generations walking together and what God can do when we begin to do that, amen. It's just awesome as everyone puts their energy in there, young, more mature, and everybody in the middle. And just God works it out. Amen. This morning, I'd like to talk about lessons from the genealogy of Jesus. I believe, like the Jews, we may have the same problem. The Jew had an ideal Jesus, an ideal Messiah, the kind of person he was supposed to be, to come and save them from the oppression of the Romans. And so because of that, they missed Jesus even when he came there. Put it this way. If this morning you're expecting a president, you may expect the side riders, the security, the big limousines, and everyone running around. Supposing the president showed up on a horse or a donkey and walked in and sat here and said, "I'm the president." You'd have a problem. You'll have a problem, not because he's not the president, because you have an ideal. An ideal stuck in your mind, and unless God fits your ideal, then you'll never see God or what God is trying to do. That's what happened. Their Messiah was supposed to be this grandiose kind of person who never arrived for them. So then, Matthew, the tax collector, a guy that sold out according to the Jew community, began to tell them a story about Jesus, and he tells them about the genealogy of Jesus to prove to them that this was the Messiah. So he goes after the genealogy and he starts talking about everything in it to show them that this was the Messiah as the Bible talks about him. You're waiting for another guy. He's been here and gone. You missed the boat. Amen. That may be true about what you're trying to do in life, and you're not seeing God because you have an ideal that never comes to see what God is trying to do in your life. You want things to change, but you have an ideal how that will happen. You will not embrace the reality of God. You have different things you'd like God to do. And hopefully as we go together through this genealogy, we can learn some things and see what God is all about. In our quest to be perfect, we thwart God's effort to use all generations in all the imperfections. That is one thing in today's world, we struggle with imperfection. When I watch Olympics and how they talk about it, it's been different this year. They give you the backstory of that, how that person came to be. And they humanize the person. You can connect to that person. In the past, you just saw Usain Bolt and said, "I cannot understand that." But when they give you the human part of that person, it's amazing to see that we can all aspire to something. Amen. Simone Biles and many others that are just doing so well. And I hope and pray that this morning, as we talk about the genealogy of Jesus, you can see how human God works with different things, and hopefully that can help you to build your faith, to not fail. This is not Jesus. These are people like you and I, and we can connect to that. Let's start here. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. This is a record of the ancestor of Jesus, the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. Just those two people. You're like, what? Jesus is connected to those people? Yes, he was. We'll see why I say that. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. In brackets, there's a story there. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Some of these people are ordinary. We don't even read about them. I hope today I can spark your imagination and you can go home and read about them. But let's just start with Abram. I mean, You know, in Genesis 15 through 20, God tells him, calls him out from his people and says, you know what? I'm going to make you a great nation. So he walks away from his people and just goes to a land that did not know, right? And he keeps going south, and then the famine comes, and then he has to go to Egypt to get help. When he gets there, and you read in from chapter 15 all the way to 20, you see what happens is that he tells his wife, you're so beautiful. If these people know that you're my wife, they'll kill me. So you tell them, I'm your sister. Technically, there was something around that, but it's different setup. You follow that. But in this case, she was the wife. And they go in there. This is a man that God has spoken to and made a covenant with. He says, I will make you a great nation. And he goes there. He lies. Of course, God convicts the Egyptians. Turns around. They turn about and says, hey, why did you do this to us? Why did you not tell us the truth? I thought you would kill me. So what was the ideal of Abraham? If they know the truth, they'll kill me. That wasn't it. Actually, they gave him more wealth and sent him away. They were upset with him. So do you see how we miss the ideal with God? Our thinking is, if they find out who I am, they'll kill me. No, they may actually say, so how did you come about? And that'd be an opportunity for you to touch them. Abram then, God sends him away. I mean, he turns away from that. He goes and meets another king, Abimelech. Abimelech again, Abram does the same thing and says, this is tells his wife, he may kill me, so you're my sister, and I'm your brother. That happens a second time. And there, again, God convicts Abimelech and says, why did you do this? And then he's sent away again. But from that point on, things change. He's tested, and God asks him to sacrifice Isaac. And what happens? They're going up to the mountain. Isaac is wondering, where will we get the sacrifice? On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. They're walking and walking. And at that point, it was a generational change. The way Abraham dealt with that situation, Isaac saw that. Isaac saw the faith of his father. And look at how Isaac turned out eventually. The point I'm trying to put across is that he was not perfect. But God walked with him. He walked through his life. That's the question. What is it in you that makes you so weak that you feel like God cannot walk with me? Look at this man, Abraham. What is it in your life that is making you feel like God cannot walk with me? Yeah, he was deceptive twice, but he changed. The point of that story is that we may figure out how, even though we're not perfect, we can go to God and God will begin to work us out when we stop being perfect in our own eyes. Amen. That is what stops us from connecting from God. And that's what stops us from moving one generation to another. Why? Because sometimes we are so perfect that we begin to castigate, criticize, instead of seeing what is God trying to do in our lives. So this imperfect man, Abraham, with a covenant with God, is taken through this journey. He's not being truthful. And then he finally changes, stands up and says, God, you gave me this only son. You know the story of Isaac. And he decides, I will stand and see what happens. So that's our story. That there is a fear to be real. Because to be real, we think that God may not walk with us. Actually, to be real is to find God. It's to say, these are my fears. This is what I struggle with. That I am struggling with this. And yet the Jews had the same trouble. Because they had this ideal. They could not see Jesus coming in a donkey. Could that be your story? That you are waiting for this limousine, but the donkey has come. And that is the place you must start. Get in the donkey and you'll get to the limousine someday. But we had the idea of walking through the donkey. We must just get to the limousine straight. How can that be? Abraham struggled first to trust God and eventually trusted God in the most difficult place. He trusted God with his only son. He grew. Some of us look at our failures as a reason not to look back. It's a good reason. We had in communion that take time and think, Jesus died. Why? How did I fail here? What happened? Connect with the reality to get the right or the godly or righteous way to connect with God. Amen. That's what should happen. That was Abraham. God walks through us and with us, not because we are perfect, but because of His grace. So His grace is not a reason to become totally ungodly, to see, oh, He lied so I can lie. No, rather to understand that because of God's grace, I have hope and I can change too. Amen. The truth be told, sometimes as Christians we've lost hope. We've lost the hope of God can transform this situation, and I've just given up. And so we look at it from the eyes of the world. The only way this can be dealt with is to stop this or that. But we don't say, what would God do in this situation? See, God loves it when you don't know the answer. Amen. God loves it when you don't know what to do. I hope at that point you can turn to God. And not think, oh, well, I'll just go like the Jews did. He doesn't fit the bill. He cannot be. Oh, no, He could be. He was the Messiah. And that's why Matthew, a tax collector, somebody they hated, was telling the story. You see, even the teller of the story is not liked by the society of the day. But God was using that very person. You see, sometimes God will work with the things that you don't really like to transform you. Some of the people you don't really like are the people that can teach you a lot. When we talk about one another relationships and the things we got to do, there's a lot you can learn from that. Amen? Amen? Sometimes as generations, we can fight each other over generational issues, and there's a lot to learn there between those generations. So God was walking with Matthew to tell the story to the Jews as well. And he was a tax collector, but he had changed. Genesis 38, about Judah and Tamar. You know what happened? His sons are dying. He's thinking, Tamar cannot be. I will not. He tells her, you go away. I'll get you, when my son grows up, I'll get you the next husband, because that was the custom back then. He doesn't, and sin happens. She pretends to be a prostitute. Eventually, well, guess who? Judah goes and sleeps with her, and that's a sin, and this secret sin is revealed. That's the other thing I want to talk about today. Sometimes, as parents, we don't talk to our children about the mistakes we made. And when we tell the story, we tell it with fear, not with faith. The stories in the Bible, if we had to show a movie about some of this stuff, I can't even talk about it. We have children here this morning. The point is, the Bible tells us in every way how things can go wrong, but God will still overcome. And the point I'm trying to make here is we should not be afraid to connect with the generations and share with them the mistakes we've made and how to overcome that. That is important in raising the next generation. To tell as it is in the Bible, it tells everything. Now we're afraid if we tell them, they're going to turn around and say, but you did it. They missed the point. We're telling you so that you don't make the same mistake. So sometimes when you put on the Waze GPS up, it tells you porthole ahead. So you have to get ready. Sometimes that's what parents are telling the next generation. There was a porthole over here. And so we are avoiding that porthole. Amen. What's the point of having an app that says there's a porthole ahead and then you go ram your car into it? Well, we might have to do some DUI testing. Say, are you all right? Why are you not paying attention to what's going on here? And that's the same thing that was the genealogy of Jesus brings up all that. And yet the Messiah comes from that genealogy. In other words, that we in our thinking would think that the Messiah would come from a perfect genealogy. He is connected with some very interesting people in our eyes as human beings. In God's eyes, He was reaching out to those kinds of people. He was reaching out to those kinds of people. So what is it in your life that makes you think God can't reach out to you? we kind of tell ourselves, I'm a special case. God, nobody understands. God won't reach out. God will reach out to you. If he can reach out to these people,
that's right.
He can. And Christ is connected to these people through genealogy. So it's important we understand that, that it works together. God wants us to see the differences in how some people are very normal, nothing happens. Some are full of issues, and yet God was weaving everything together.
Wow.
Let's go here. Matthew chapter 1. We are going in Matthew 1 the whole day today. So verse 46 says, Ram was the father of Abinadab. We don't read about Ram a lot, but he was there. Abinadab was the father of Nashon. Nashon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Something else there, right? Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. Interesting stuff. Now, Ram, the father of Abinadab, ordinary guys. Abinadab, the father of Nashon. We wish we were like these ordinary guys. Not so much said about us, you know. Just the guy that was around and moved on. Nashon was the father of Solomon. Solomon was the father of Boaz. Boaz's mother was Rahab. Hold on, what about Rahab? When Jericho was being destroyed and going down, the only person that remained was a prostitute and the family. Now, even that word, most people cringe. But God is trying to show that my grace can even reach out to that kind of a person.
Amen.
And probably there are people that need us to reach out to them, to really reach out to them. And they're in this category. Their morals are really gone. But we don't reach out to them because we judge them as... The spies were saved by the prostitute. And we may judge people like that. It says, I can never talk to this kind of a person.
Come on, Steve.
We need to reach out to these people.
Amen.
Jesus did not die for the perfect people. He died imperfect. So we got to reach out to all kinds of people and love them. But even as generations, we're so different. I talked about that when I began the series. One generation didn't even allow divorce at any circumstance. And we've moved on now. We have, blended families. And look at how that can get in the way of just letting God work.
Come on.
And yet, you see here, that's the person that God used to bring about. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Uriah. That situation. Okay, let's talk about this for a while. We were having a talk yesterday with Steve Coy about this as well. Saul was the king when David was anointed to be king later, right? That ran for about 40 years when Saul had been rejected with God. God said, because you went and sacrificed, did a job of a priest, you're not supposed to do that. I have rejected you as a king. He said, well, he tried to say he's changed, but we know that God can see beyond what you say. So that never worked, but David came into place. Does that make sense? And sometimes, here's the point, sometimes we focus so much on the outside, we forget the inside. Why was Saul rejected? Was the heart. The Bible describes David as a man after God's own heart.
That's right.
And yet in this position, he was not in sync with God, going to war when the kings went to war. He was away and began to lust another man's wife. And eventually what happened with that is that when the man came back, he tried to say, well, he was unfaithful. Let's put it that way. The wife was unfaithful. David was unfaithful. That happened, and when that happened, he tried to hide that, but there was a man that was a prophet that spoke to him and said, you know what, you need to change this. But when that was brought up to him, how did he react? He was broken, he was fasting, he was changing.
Yep.
Compare that to Saul. Now, the human mind is, He took someone's wife, he committed murder, and now he's going to take the wife. But God was looking at the heart. See, that's a hard thing for you and I to figure out. Jeremiah talks about the heart is deceitful beyond cure. Who can understand it? God will test it and figure out what is what. So God was testing David. I'm assuming that God must have known something about David's heart that I cannot tell. But from reading this stuff, I can only say God must have known something that David hard down in his heart that Saul didn't have. See, church, we've got to get this right. We've got to get God in our hearts.
Amen.
That is where transformation begins. That is where change begins. It's not the outside stuff. The other stuff is easier when the heart is convicted and seeing that God can change that. And Jesus was related to these people.
Wow.
Just in case you're wondering, this Jesus, where did he come from? It was related to these people. Some people look at the scriptures in a weird way and try to justify their sin. That's not the point. The point is, look at how God can help us from the darkest of places and we can overcome.
Amen.
That was David, father of Solomon. Solomon, the wisest guy we ever known, wrote a lot of Psalms, a lot of Proverbs. His mother was Uriah. You know, you see how we can be judgmental? We can be judgmental. And then I don't know about America, but in some societies, your lineage is a big thing. I mean, I have my lineage since to the 17th century, and my grandfather tried to drill that in my head, and my brother tells me about it. And what they don't talk about all the way my tribe works. If you're a bad person, your name is discontinued. It's just cut. I have great-grandfathers, their names were discontinued. Why? He was a mean guy. We don't call people that name anymore. We've moved on. Not that here. They show you the line. What happened to that guy? We discontinued that guy. We continue with his name now.
Wow.
The pressure for you to be good outside is big in that culture. Why? Because you can be discontinued from the generations. But God shows different. We talk about everything. If you're not making peace with what you've done so that you can embrace God for change, then you're running away from what you've done. That is what is stopping you from changing.
Wow.
When you stop, you're not changing because you're running away. Why are you running away? Because you don't like, you're chasing the ideal. You're not accepting the reality of it.
Yeah.
When you accept the reality, change begins to happen. Let us stop running and start embracing the reality, and change will happen in our hands. Change will happen in the family groups, will happen in one another relationships. Change will happen in our homes, in the marriages, in the parenting. But we've got to come to a place that this has happened.
Amen.
Not run away.
Amen.
Not run away. Not excuse, blame. We have to come to a place of this has happened. How can we change that? That was David. That was David. Compare that to Saul. Saul had stories to tell. When I say he didn't come in time, I figured, well, David was not like that. He said, I've got to deal with this. So this is very important. Here's a quote I thought we could take with. There's no need to be perfect to inspire others. Let others get inspired by how you deal with your imperfections. How about that? Take that. Reputation is what men and women think of us. Character is what God and the angels know of us. Church, what does God and the angels know of you? What does God and the angels know of you? So Matthew is in pains trying to explain these things to the Jews because they are missing out on the Messiah. Why? Because they are set on the ideal, not on the reality. That's what's going on. We've got to come back to the realities of our lives and begin to make change from there and get to the scriptures and ask God to show us what needs to change. Yes, prayer needs to be done, but we've got to do it properly. Matthew 1, 16 to 18, in finishing. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. All those listed above include 14 generations from Abraham to David. 14 generations. That's about 28, am I right? From David to Babylonia, exile, and 14 generations from the Babylonian exile to Messiah. What is the total? 14 times 3? 42? They're about, not 46? Are we getting it right? I thought it was about 46. Oh, there are about 42 generations that we have there. And if you look at that over 2,000 years, that's the story that Matthew is telling. Trying to help them how that God was walking over 2,000 years, taking the word of God from generation to generation, helping people with perfect and imperfect people, normal people, people that we have nothing to say about, and people that did strange things, but God walked with them anyway. Let's talk a little bit about Joseph. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born, verse 18. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. In that culture, if that happened, it's a done deal. We break up this relationship. We're not going forward. We lived in Ethiopia. We've seen that. My wife and I lived there. We've been in close proximity with Islamic cultures in Kenya where they're very, and you see how that runs. And yet Joseph, very ordinary person God chose to work with. One, he didn't. He was tempted, but he didn't. Because he was thinking about what is righteous. And when you listen to the, if you read the story, I'm doing this on purpose. I want you to go and read the Bible for yourself. So I'm not giving you the whole story today. You got to go read and say, okay, let me go figure out this stuff. And read the story and see how Joseph dealt with that situation. He struggled with it, but he came to a place of accepting that God had worked this out. And in that culture, you didn't touch her until you got married. And that's what happened there. Does that make sense? And so, the point I'm trying to put across is that Joseph was righteous. Joseph wanted what is right. Did he struggle because of the culture around him? Yes, he did. But eventually, he saw the hand of God. And eventually, he came to a place of understanding. And you can see how the impact of that to the other kids that were there. The point I'm trying to put across to you today is, it's important to understand as we talk generational, multi-generational congregation, and understand the ideals that get in the way. But we must come back to the realities of what must we do to build a church that reflects God, irrespective of sin, color, creed, attitude, and age. That it will show and magnify God. It takes us to understand a little bit how Jesus came to be about. Understand the genealogy and see how that was working. For a long time, I hated reading the genealogy, but I love it right now. Because I just go in and say, let me figure out this guy and what's going on with this guy. And it's amazing what God reveals to you as you just read that stuff. And how humbling that can be for us. And it helps us to humble out as God is working in our lives. Today is the last time I talk about generations for a while, God willing, because we'll come back to it someday. But I want us to really embrace this multi-generational congregation, as we saw this morning in front of us, it play out. But let's do that in our family groups. Let's do that with one another. Let's do that in our relationships, and God will be amazing. In finishing, let's take this quote. Be more concerned with your character than your reputation. That was Abraham, that was David, that was Joseph, that was Boaz, that was Isaac, that was Jacob. This man had flaws, but they were concerned about their character. And they transformed and changed. And to this day, they are fathers of our faith. God bless you.
Can you hear me? Oh, awesome. Well... Let's give it up not only to Steve, let's give it up to God for this word that we heard this morning. You know, It is definitely a blessing to know that God's word never comes back empty. We know today that we heard something within the understanding of the genealogy of Jesus, the imperfections of many people before him, and how God used him and used them to completely bring a fold his word to each and every other generation. So with that, guys, I just want to close out with a word of prayer before we have a final song, and it will be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much because we know that you love us, that you are concerned about us, that you planned out our generations. You planned to plant seeds in each and every generation before us to get us to this point. We pray, God, that your word will continue to inspire us, that we would surrender our fear to you. God, so that you can continue to plant seeds in the future. God, we know that we want to be with you. We know that there are many obstacles that we may face. But with you, Father, everything is possible. So I pray, God, as we leave here today, that you would enable our hearts to put stuff into action. God, what we heard today, that we would go back home and look at your scriptures again, that we would talk to others, Father, about what we know about you, so that the next generation can continue to serve you and love you with all their hearts. Again, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity to worship in your name and to bring glory to you, Father. We love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.